And here we are, another Lauren and Fritz podcast.
Yes, number 40. Here we are.
Wow, we're almost over the hill already, Lauren.
You could think we only started doing these, what, 3 years ago? Going on 3 years ago?
Oh, now you're making me feel old. We're having a discussion whether or not we wanted to feel old, and we've been doing this for 3 years. Jesus
Christ.
3 years.
Just to make it feel older, when we started this podcast, both of us still worked in radio. Think about that.
Yeah, when we started this podcast, we had careers.
We did.
Flash forward 3 years.
Oh, 3 years, and things are different, though. You're married, I'm getting married.
Yeesh.
Neither of us are in radio anymore. It's a different world.
Still no children. That's why.
Still no children. Yes.
So I guess, we should mention here, if you guys have never heard us before, I am Fritz, and you're obviously Lauren.
I'm Lauren, yes.
And what ended up happening was we went to Specs Howard, which is a school for broadcasting arts out here in Detroit. And it's basically where you go if you want to get into radio or television. And you and I, being music freaks, we loved radio. And we ended up both getting a job in this rinky-dink piece of garbage. I hate this radio station more than anything, in a town called Port Huron, Michigan. And so what ended up happening was, yeah, I was the full-time guy. I was the head honcho, and you were just the weekender guy at
you
first.
You trained me, sir. Mm-hmm. I came in, and you and I were just basically showing me the ropes so I didn't burn the place down.
I was the Yoda.
Yeah, and I don't know if you know what we bonded over was that you had heard of Local H, which I was like, oh my gosh, you've heard of Local H? And you were like, yeah, they had this live record come out, and you told me about their Toxic covers. You turned me on to something I didn't even know about, one of my favorite bands. And then you're like, hey, you ever heard of Wolf Parade? And I'm like, yeah, Wolf Parade. If I was just being married, I got that record, got it the day it came out. And you're like, what? And friends for life.
Yep, and 3 years later, I'm still going, have you ever heard of Wolf Parade?
Yes.
So what ended up happening, though, the reason why we got started on the podcast, though, is you ended up taking a position. You became the promotion, or not promotions director, but the commercial director. What was your title? Yep.
I was the production director.
So production director, and at that time, I had weaseled my way into the afternoon shift. So we got Lauren and Fritz both there, sitting there in the afternoons, and what would happen is when my shift started, you were starting your lunch, because my shift started at noon.
Yeah.
And you would always come in on my lunch, and you'd be like, what up? Have you heard this? And we'd just sit there and talk, and our bosses ended up getting really pissed at us.
Yes.
They were like, oh, we got to keep Lauren and Fritz like away from each other. Like they can't, you know, keep them away.
Dangerous combination, the two of us.
Yeah. So we're like, fuck that. We'll go do a podcast then. And here we are 3 years later on number 40.
There you go. Yeah.
Inconsistently doing podcasts, but trying to be better about it.
Yes. Well, I did move to another state, and that kind of put a damper on doing them as regularly as possible.
But that's the key word. It's only a damper.
It's only
still
a damper
because
here we are. Here we are. So, to all of our new listeners, Larry, what's going on?
Hello.
Now you're up to speed on why we do what we do.
And we do have an email address, by the way, if you're hearing this, iTunes, picking it up for the first time, whatever. You can go to laurenfritz@gmail.com if you have anything you'd like to say for the show. We had some good input last week. We talked about video games a little bit. And I guess I'll break the ice this episode by, again, talking a little bit about video games. However, it's a cross between video games and movies, actually, because I'm addicted to Call of Duty. Love me some Call of Duty. That's all I play. 10th Prestige all the way. Any noobs know what I'm talking about, then I'll
I literally have no idea what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, anyways, a while ago, they introduced this thing called Nazi Zombies into the Call of Duty series, and it was basically, it's what it sounds like. There's Nazi zombies coming after you, and you just sit there and try to kill them all, and they get harder as, you know, the new levels go on. Well, they've been going on with this, and they've normally stuck with, basically, they made these characters up, and these characters are just your stock Russian, your stock American, your stock German guy and stuff like that. And it kind of got this like crazy storyline going. But for the new one, which just came out today as we're recording this, which is the third. It just came out for Xbox 360, the new expansion. Well, the new Zombies map is called Call of the Dead. And what they did is they basically revamped the whole thing. So instead of having your stock German guy and your stock everyone, they actually got the voices for Sarah Michelle Gellar. So you get to play as Sarah Michelle Gellar.
That's a get. That's a pretty big get.
Or, though, I'm not done yet. You get to play as Michael Rooker from The Walking Dead, or most notably the guy from Mallrats, of course.
Right.
The bald guy. You could also play as Robert Englund. They got Robert Englund to come do the voice, and you can play as him in the game. And also, just to add a little bit of Mexican spice, Danny Trejo.
Oh, my gosh. When you said Mexican spice, I said, please be it Machete. Please.
Oh, Danny Trejo is in it. But here's the best part about it, is you are Sarah Michelle Gellar, Robert Englund, Danny Trejo, and Michael Rooker. And guess who you're fighting against? A zombie George Romero.
Wow.
Not making this up. George Romero is a zombie, and he's after you, and he's the big main boss of the whole thing.
This is literally the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. I don't know what it is, but this strikes me as this so totally random. Like, George Romero makes sense. He's the zombie guy. I mean, he's relegated himself to that. He tried to make some not-zombie movies for a while, and then he's like, that's all I know. Yeah, now I just make zombie movies, and they're awful now. But the other ones are very random.
Now,
Sarah Michelle Gellar, Michael Rooker, I guess I could see the zombie link there with The Walking Dead. Danny Trejo, I love him, bring him in. Robert Englund, guy's got to eat, bring him in too.
Well, I know the backstory.
But it's all very random. I don't mean that in a bad way. It's just very random.
It is very random. I'll tell you the backstory. This is what I've figured out about the whole thing, is they really must have had a big list of names that they wanted to get. And were the only four that said yes.
Well,
that's the only way. I mean,
you're absolutely right. I'm sure that there were people. Well, I mean, Michael Rooker, I've read an interview with him. That guy is ready to work anytime, any place.
Yeah.
So he makes sense. Danny Trejo, he's a workhorse. He's same deal.
Yeah.
Robert Englund, of course.
What the hell else does he have?
They recast Freddy. He's got to do it.
Yeah.
And Sarah Michelle Gellar has got to keep Freddie Prinze Jr. fed somehow. Mm-hmm. Somehow, some way, she's got to keep that guy
still together?
In grown-up clothes. Oh, yeah, they're still together. What?
Wow.
She's gonna leave. They are two people who got together at the peak of both of theirs' popularity, and both of their careers have dropped down to the exact same trajectory. Think about it. Maybe last year he was like, hey, I was on the last season of 24. And then she'd just shut him down and be like, yeah, it's the worst season of 24.
Yeah, I'm bringing you down to Call of Duty, bitch.
yeah, exactly. So now she's doing Call of Duty. And yeah, they really can't say anything to each other about it. This isn't a Jennifer Lopez, Mark Anthony, we got to have twins to save this marriage situation. You know, it's like, hey, you did 24 last season. Well, you're doing the Call of Duty voice. It's how they keep it equal. What I'm saying is they have a wonderful relationship, and I hope it continues for years and years to come.
Good luck to both of them.
And yeah, really. Absolutely.
Last news on the video game front real quick. Okay. I'm a PS3 fanboy, and I'm in turmoil right now. If you haven't heard, the PlayStation Network got shut down.
Yes, yeah, I did hear about that.
Hackers got in there, and I got the old email saying, hey, you might want to cancel your credit cards because we don't know what the hell's going on. But I don't know. Still sticking with it. But anyway, Call of the Dead Black Ops, that is out today. You can get it right now on Xbox, but a month later on PS3. So I just think that's crazy. But yeah.
Well, I'm glad to see you're very calm about having your information possibly hacked.
I don't really care. I really don't think that out of the millions of PlayStation subscribers, Fritz and his lonely credit card are going to be the ones that get hit with that trip to or whatever the heck they want to buy. I don't know. Call me just relaxed about the whole thing. But I don't think my information was compromised. And I think Sony has now come out and said that it wasn't compromised. The credit cards was not, because it was encrypted. But I don't know. I just call my bank and go, I wasn't in California. I didn't spend that. Wipe it off. They'll take care of it.
I enjoy your optimism.
Yeah, there we go.
That's what I'm going to
That's how you got to live.
That's how you got to live. Exactly.
So now we got to transition I guess you saw a couple movies that I have not seen because I've been busy with the whole school thing.
You have been. I saw, well, I don't know about, the one movie I want to talk about is the biggest movie in the country right now, Fast Five.
Ooh,
the fifth, the fifth Fast and Furious movie.
The Rock.
The Rock.
Vin Diesel.
There's so many things to talk about.
Paul Walker. They're all together.
Let's talk about the main one, is that The Rock is in this movie, and he is amazing.
I'm trying to feel for sarcasm right here.
No.
Okay.
He's amazing in this movie.
All right.
He is sweating in every single scene he's in. He's the only guy in the... Okay, I'm going to get into some spoilers here just a little bit. Nothing major. I'm not going to go into specifics, but he's the only guy in the movie who gets to drop an F-bomb, and he's the only guy in the movie who gets to shoot people in the face.
PG-13,
and
right?
Oh, here's the thing. All the other characters in the movie, they're in a PG-13 movie. The Rock, he's in an R-rated movie. Hmm. Every time The Rock shows up, he's just swearing at people and shooting at people and just getting vicious.
Is that un-Rock-like? Because I'm thinking back to Rock's repertoire. And I mean, Doom, Doom's the only one I can think of that's maybe a little bit on that, you know, dropping an F-bomb type sort of mood for The Rock. Other than that, I can think of Witch Mountain and the Tooth Fairy movie. And, I mean, Walking Tall wasn't really that harsh or anything
like
that.
No, that was, yeah. I would say that this movie feels like The Rock righting the ship on his action movie career.
So after spending
so many years making movies for children, like The Tooth Fairy and what have you. And I know he did that movie Faster, which apparently had him walking around shooting people in the face, but I heard that sucked.
So he's doing a reverse Schwarzenegger then. He started off with the kid-type movies, now he's getting hardcore.
Yes, yeah. I think he realizes, you know, I got to get back in there making movies where I shoot people in the face.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't seen Faster, like I said. I heard it sucked. That's all I know.
But I can tell you that Fast Five,
though, The Rock is golden in this film. He is, yeah, like I said, shooting people in the face, being threatening. He gets into a big brawl with Vin Diesel at one point. A lot of people pointed out that scene could have been really great, and instead it's just good. And I think that's because, for some reason, unlike the rest of the movie, which is shot with an eye for clarity and cohesion and just making things look really slick and sharp, that fight scene, I know they were going for grim and gritty and dark, but they literally shot part of it in the dark. There's a scene where they fall into a room that has like one window and they're two silhouettes fighting. I remember thinking, you know, you can show us these guys fighting. And then I thought about it, you know what? That's Vin Diesel's stunt double fighting The Rock's stunt double. So that's why they had to have him fight in the dark for that, I guess. But I mean, that's a small quibble. But I want to talk about one of the more interesting aspects of the film is that they brought back Tyrese.
Oh,
from
the first one?
No, Tyrese was in the second Fast and Furious movie. Too Fast, Too Furious.
Mm-hmm.
Which, whenever people were like, Fast Five, that's a dumb title, I said, this is from the series that had the second movie called Too Fast, Too Furious, which will always be the dumbest title, like, ever.
I don't know. Well, when you compare The Fast and the Furious and Fast and Furious together, those are pretty dumb titles as well.
That's dumb, but Too Fast, Too Furious, and with the number two there, yeah. I don't know. I still think that's dumber.
Yeah, yeah.
But and actually, I had not seen that movie until just last week, right before we went to see Fast Five. It was on Netflix Instant, so I was like, all right, cue this shit up. I'll watch this. And it was on Stars Play. And I don't know if you're familiar with Stars Play on Netflix Instant, but basically Stars Play lets you know that a movie you've been dying to see is now available on Netflix, but it looks like shit. That's what Stars Play means. Stars Play means. So if you're ever on Netflix Instant and you're like, oh my gosh, this movie I've been dying to see. Oh shit, Blade 2's on Netflix Instant? I can't wait to watch it. Oh, it's in Stars Play? It's going to look like garbage. Oh, it's going to look like... I mean, literally, I was sitting there and Rachel came down during parts of the movie and she's like, why does this look like shit? Is it because it was badly filmed? I said, no, it's a Stars Play. That's what you get with Stars Play.
See, I'm still getting into Netflix, so I don't have high expectations of it. Like, if it's there and it's playing, I'm like, oh, wow, that's cool.
Oh, yeah.
But
oh, no.
I'm waiting for that to fade. I know it will come.
Well, the thing is that they have movies on there. I'm going total tangent now. We'll come back to Too Fast, Too Furious. Don't worry, I'm going on tangent. that there are movies on there that are, if you run them through your PS3, you run them through your Blu-ray player like I do,
yeah,
they're available in HD, they are gorgeous. I watched Mad Max a couple weeks ago, and Mad Max was beautiful. It looked like it had been filmed yesterday at the highest level of film print quality, and it was streaming. It looked incredible. So then I go and watch Too Fast, Too Furious and motherfucking Stars Play, and it's like somebody like smeared shit all over the screen. But during that movie is weird because it is really gay. And people like to say, oh, you know, there's what, all this
too fast?
Gay. Too fast.
Yeah, okay.
And people say like, oh, the whole Fast and Furious franchise is really gay. Vin Diesel, Paul Walker relationship. I'm like, not really. I rewatched Fast and Furious, the first one.
Fast and Furious.
Yes, the original. And there's not really much tension or really much chemistry between Paul Walker and Vin Diesel. They're on two different levels. Paul Walker's the surfer boy.
Because Paul Walker replaced Vin Diesel, that's why.
No. Not Paul Walker. You're thinking of Tyrese replaced Vin Diesel.
Did he?
In the second.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah.
It's so confused. It's not confusing.
Okay.
Anyway, so, but in the second one, with Tyrese and Paul Walker, it is so gay. The first time they meet each other, they get into a fight in the dirt, and they're just rolling around, punching each other, while Paul Walker's buddy just sits back and laughs and says, I'm not getting in the middle of this.
Why do I picture a tank top being involved?
Yes, Tyrese has a tank top on.
That's what I thought.
And then throughout the movie, Paul Walker will make eyes at women, including Eva Mendes, and Tyrese will be very upset about that. He will say, what's going on with this? What's this girl doing here? What's she doing here? He's always saying that all the time. What do you got a girl in your room for?
Brought your bitch to the Waffle Hut?
Yes. And so that's very strange, but after a while you get kind of used to it, and it feels like a more sincere relationship, and you kind of want it to really go there. By the end of the movie, I remember thinking, man, I really hope I don't need them to kiss, but if they did, it would feel natural and earned. The movie would have earned the kiss. And at the end of the movie, it's such a sloppy film. But they steal a bunch of money, and then this cop's like, really? That's all the money? And they're like, nah, here's the rest of the money. Okay. Then they walk around a tree. So they're still really within earshot of these cops, and Tyrese is like, I didn't give them all the money, and pulls his shirt up, and he's got a bunch of money shoved in his pants, and then him and Paul Walker are like, ha ha, high five, credits. And I said,
you sounded like you were storyboarding it right there when they're in there. They're like, yeah, and then they'll like walk behind a tree, and then like we'll steal some money, and then we'll race some cars.
That's probably how they storyboarded it. You know, tree, them, money, love.
And
so,
by the way, spoiler alert.
I'm sorry if I spoiled the end of a movie that came out in 2003. Anyway, so fast forward. Now we have Fast Five. Everybody's back. Everybody's back in this movie, including Tyrese. Tyrese doesn't really have any gay tension in this movie, but he does strangely have an unlimited supply of awful jokes that the movie pitches as if they're actually funny, but they're not. And the whole movie is Tyrese saying things that are very not funny, but are clearly have been pitched as this will be a funny line. The one that I remember most succinctly is the one they've been running in the trailer, which I remember thinking, well, that won't really be in the movie, which is, this just went from Mission Impossible to Mission in Freaking Sanity. And he delivers it with this passion. I'm sorry, I said it wrong. When I say it so flat like that, I'm not getting the point across. What he said is, this just went from Mission Impossible to Mission in Freaking Sanity. And there's a pause. Like, no other characters say anything for a minute, because that's the hint to you, the audience, to go, oh, Tyrese, what a hilarious line you've just delivered to us. Truly, truly, this world is taking on an entire new level of color in life. And so Tyrese spends the whole movie making awful jokes like that. And after a while, Rachel and I, we weren't laughing initially. we weren't, because I turned to Rachel, like, oh, Tyrese is horrible. It's terrible jokes. But they kept giving us scenes where Tyrese is supposed to be funny, and it became funny in how not funny it was.
So they basically took him from gay black man to token black man in the span of him being absent for three movies, basically.
Basically, yeah. Well, because they have Ludacris in the movie, and Ludacris is playing the part
Luda.
Of... He's the tech guy.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I remember him being the tech guy. Was he in the one of the other ones as the tech guy?
In Too Fast, Too Furious, he just ran races, but in between, he's now the tech guy.
Okay.
I'm not really going to hold the Fast and Furious movies to some level of cohesion beyond the fact that they got people to reappear in them, yeah. playing characters with the same name. Paul Walker's character, I mean, sometimes he's like a brash badass, and sometimes he's like, whatever you want to do, Vin, I'm going to do it. but I really want to stress that if you are a fan of anti-comedy, if you are a fan of Tim and Eric, who I'm not a fan of, but if you enjoy that sort of like, wow, this is really awful attempts at humor, now it's so bad it's funny, Tyrese in Fast Five. Can't say enough about it.
All right. So overall,
I haven't even talked about the action, which I'll just get to really quick, right. is very well done. All the chases are fantastic. The last chase where they are dragging a safe through the streets of Rio is it makes no sense on a level of how you understand physics and the movement and gravity and things like that. But as far as a visual representation of an awesome chase with insane amounts of property damage, I can't. It's really, really great.
Physics are so boring, anyways. Who cares?
You know. Somebody pointed out once that when movies get too caught up in realism, they get boring. Like, oh, it can never happen. You know what I mean? And like sometimes, you know, making a superhero movie that's very realistic is good, like The Dark Knight. You know what I mean? But I don't need all of my superhero movies to be ultra realistic. Sometimes I can suspend my disbelief and just kind of roll with it.
But then like again, you can have Batman and Robin, where it's just too.
But well, yeah, it's.
We want it in the middle. That's where we want it. That's we love it in the middle.
Listen, you can have all these things, but sometimes someone with a bad idea will get to push that bad idea all the way to your home. So Fast Five gets a big old yup from me.
Wow, all right. I'm surprised by that. I thought it was going to be, but you know, I guess they threw some money behind it.
They threw some money behind it, and they got, like I said, The Rock swearing, shooting people in the face, yelling at people. It's so great.
All right. I want to know now, have the Beasties brought the party back?
All right.
You waited until today? Have you heard it?
I waited until today to listen to it. And about halfway through it, I remember thinking, man, I need more listens to give a full proper review. But I'm still going to talk about my feelings on it. I would definitely say on first listen that the Beastie Boys are very consistent in that I don't think the Beastie Boys have ever made a terrible record. I think we can agree on that. I'm not counting their, you know, funk, no rap albums. I'm talking just like the main discography that everyone knows.
Yeah. No, I mean, some I love and some are just okay to me. But I would never classify a bad Beastie Boy album.
They've never made a record where you're like, this is a straight up stinker. I'm never going to listen to it ever, ever again. It's never happened.
Then again, it's hard to top Intergalactic. So, but what can you do?
See, for me, it's...
Hello Nasty. Excuse me? What am I talking about? Hello Nasty. There we go.
Well, see, for me, I'm very partial to Check Your Head.
Oh, God, yes. Yeah.
And I went back, actually, and re-listened to all the Beastie Boys albums.
I miss the rock and roll Beasties a little bit, though. I miss it a little bit.
Well, when I went back and re-listened to it, I found that I had never actually listened to Licensed Ill front to back before. Mm-hmm. And listening to that, I was struck by the fact that Fight for Your Right and No Sleep Till Brooklyn are the two best songs in the album because they have the best production. And also the funniest line is on Fight for Your Right when he says, your mom took away your best porno mag.
Gold.
Pause.
Gold.
Pussy. That is the funniest. Still, it's the funniest. I know I'm saying it wrong. I know I'm saying it like Tyrese and it's not funny, but it's funny. So anyway. So I haven't gone back and listened to all those. Listening to Hot Sauce Committee Part 2 Which I think is that their first attempt to have like sort of a funny title in a weird kind of way?
I don't know. Paul's Boutique's kind of funny.
Yes. I don't know. Anyway.
Sorry for a wrench in the cog there.
I don't know why. I don't know. This one is, I would say if I have a complaint about it is that they rap a lot of songs through the vocal filter that they use on So What You Want, mm-hmm. most famously. And so their voices are distorted. And while So What You Want is a classic track that is one of like the best songs ever, and also one of the best Beastie Boys songs ever, that's like one track on that album. And it works for that song. And I don't know, there was, I think it was like four tracks in where I remember thinking, they don't have to do every song in this album through this filter. And I don't know, I felt like sometimes their vocals were too far back in the mix that I couldn't quite hear them.
Now, there's...
I don't know, but I mean, I don't know. I that was me listening in my car.
I was thinking that when Fight For Your Right Revisited, the video, what's the name of that song?
Make Some Noise.
Make Some Noise. When I was listening to that, I had the exact same things. I was like, their voices are far in the back. Now, I have not read anything recently, but isn't one of the Beastie Boys rather, I mean, I hate to use the pun, ill at the moment? Isn't he?
No, he's as I understand, he is better. I don't know if he's 100% out of the woods as far as his illness is concerned, but I know they delayed this album until he got better.
Okay, so he did get better. So I'm just thinking though, but it's got to be a combination because that was one thing I was like, is the guy still six or are they just mixing it down because he doesn't have the power?
The thing I understand is there's moments later in the album where they don't rap with the filter on it, and you can hear the vocals and they still sound good and they're funny. I actually think that this record has a lot of really good stuff in the second half. Which is interesting because most Beastie Boys records are front loaded.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Famously, like with the first six tracks on Ill Communication, it's like six classics in a row, and then like a lot of dicking around with some moments. But you're basically
called by the name of the King Ed Rock, super educated. I'm smarter than Spock.
Well, I mean, this album doesn't have, I think this has like one track where it's like one of their funk interludes, mm-hmm. Which it's funny when growing up, I don't know about you, but like growing up when I listened to these Beastie Boys albums, those funk interludes didn't really bug me and I almost didn't notice them. I just took them as like part of the Beastie Boys journey through the album. Going back and re-listening to Check Your Head and License to Ill and Ill Communication and Hello Nasty, especially the three middle ones, the mm-hmm. mid-90s ones, that really were the ones that made me a big fan. Those records, you are getting into it. You're just getting hyped. You're like, yes, pass the mic. And then they drop this funk jazz interlude, and it totally stops the record dead.
I always skipped over them, to be honest.
Yeah, that's the thing, is then you skip it over them, and then you think, like, okay, if I cut all these out, how much album do I actually have? Do I have an hour? No, I don't have an hour. Do I have, like, 30 minutes? Maybe. But that said, still, all their rap tracks are great. That was the thing I realized. Any track where the Beastie Boys are rapping is great. Like, I can't think of it a single exception. Can you?
No.
Of, like, a Beastie Boys rapping song. And even when I went back to the Five Boroughs, which is the album that a lot of people think is not that good, and I remember playing it for friends.
I'm not the biggest fan, but it's still not a bad album, I don't think.
Let me tell you, man, beats across the board on that record are
yeah,
insane.
That's what it had going for it, quite honestly.
The beats are crazy. Its big detriment is that it spends a lot of time speechifying against Bush, which, while I can agree with that sentiment, is not the best for creating like party time, and sometimes it can get just a little clunky. I find MCA's rhymes on a lot of that album are not that good. Like, just in like a general, like the other guys could be rapping about, I guess you can say I'm no better than you, except when I rap, so I guess it ain't true. Like, that's a really good Ad Rock rhyme, because Ad Rock always has the best ones anyway. And MCA is, we have a president we did not elect. The Kyoto treaties he decided to neglect. And everyone's just like, oh, no.
Oh, you're dropping the Kyoto treaty on me now? What the hell?
No, I don't. Not really.
I want a party. No.
Yeah, exactly. The album has a problem where it has the specter of 9/11 hanging over it, which, while of course the Beastie Boys had to address that, it still makes the album a bit of a downer at times.
So we'll get a full review on the Beasties coming.
I think let me really you know, marinate in the Hot Sauce Committee Part 2. Let me get in there, really listen to it. I mean, first listen, it was my initial thought was the production's on point, as it always is. There's one moment late in the album that is instantly became my favorite moment on the album. I mean, I don't think anything will be better at it. Is Mike D starts a nine out with, I have to listen to it again, but I'm pretty sure it goes, Mike D. And I loved it. I was like, that's great. They're still bringing me new, exciting things to love 20-plus years into their career. Fantastic.
So we gotta hurry up and get this underway because you texted me.
I did text you because the Lollapalooza had announced their lineup, and I said, you know what would be really fun? If we came up with a sort of like fantasy draft of our own music festivals, if we could set them up and curate them and pick all the people we wanted to play them. And you said you got super into it and had like 20-plus bands
18
playing.
18 at Final Count, yeah.
18 at Final Count. And me, I had listed a bunch of bands, but then they were bands I had already seen, and so I started cutting people off. And then I thought, well, should I have people come play who I've never seen before? And my list is a shambles, so we'll start with yours.
Okay, well, my list, I realized that if I were to be a concert promoter and put on my own concert, I don't think a lot of people would come.
I would be surprised, but keep on...
So what I tried to do though is I really wanted to do it realistically. Like, hey, if we were to bands that are together, bands that we could get, and one of the other things that you said that we had to have was a legacy set. Legacy set. So you wanted to have a band that would come out and just perform an album in its entirety. So I tried to keep everything realistic, what I would want to see. So basically, I got a two-day festival lined up. Okay. One's a bit heavier, one's a bit lighter. So the first day, got to open up with the Toadies. And again, that's because I love the Toadies. Live, I never got a chance to see them. I got a bunch of bootlegs of them, and I would love to see the Toadies live. However, I don't think too many else would. Follow that up, and again, I'm trying to keep this realistic, and I'm trying to keep it as...
No dead people.
Tiered, but Local H coming second.
Oh, there you go.
So Local H, because I think Toadies, Local H, 90s flair, rock and roll alternative. Then I have coming up, love to see him live, although I've seen some stuff. Yeah, Mastodon.
Oh.
Throwing Mastodon, because this evening's all about the rock and roll. Follow that. A little bit lighter. Going to have some fun. Eagles of Death Metal.
Hey.
Really thought Eagles of Death Metal. Love to see them live. Keeping the fun going, Clutch. Clutch
Whoa.
Going on right after that. That would just be fun party time. Now, I got into these guys, and I've been doing nothing but listening to these guys all week long. And I don't know why, but I have Silver Sun Pickups. Really like Silver Sun Pickups now.
I have never been able to get into Silver Sun Pickups.
Once you get past that the guy's a guy, you're good to go. Got some good jams.
My thing with them is they sound like the Smashing Pumpkins. Like 90s Smashing Pumpkins, which is a good thing to sound like because that's the best Smashing Pumpkins to sound like. But it's not, I don't think any of their songs are as good as the best Smashing Pumpkins songs.
They're not supposed to be better than Smashing Pumpkins. They're just supposed to be good music.
I guess. I don't know. I've never really, it's never really clicked for me. I've heard songs that I've like in an isolated environment, I will say, hey, this song is the jam. Who is this? And someone will go, Silver Sun Pickups. And then I'll listen to it on my own time at home, and I will get bored.
They do some extended solos, but I got like five songs by theirs that is just constant repeat. So I put them up there, though, because they are pretty popular. So that's why they get such a high billing on there.
Are they popular? I didn't know that they were popular.
I thought so. I thought with MTV crowd and stuff like that. They're on Rock Band and everything, so...
Okay. Well, someone write to us at laurenfritz@gmail.com and tell us if Silver Sun Pickups is popular. Because I don't know.
After that, though, I don't think there's going to be any debate about this as Queens of the Stone Age will be taking the stage.
Holla. Do I even need to do my list? We should just merge our fests, the Lauren Fritz fests.
Now keeping it going, though, because this is still the first night, remember, because this is a whole festival thing.
You are killing me. I'm going to be exhausted. When am I going to the bathroom?
Deftones.
Oh. Wow.
Deftones, but wait a minute, though. Now, that's eight bands right there.
Oh my God.
I decided to put my legacy set at the end of the first night.
Okay.
So, I mean, I'm thinking Toadies takes a stage at like noon. You know what I mean? This is an all day thing here. But okay. Anyways, the legacy set, I was trying to think of a band I'd love to hear a whole album through and a band that is currently around and currently on tour. And yes. I couldn't think of any band better. In fact, I had this. I thought it was a stroke of genius. Soundgarden got back together. How much would you love to sit there and hear Super Unknown straight in its entirety?
You've blown me out of the water. I don't even know if I should do mine. That was so good. I want to go to Fritz Fest. It's called Fritz Fest, right?
Yeah.
I want to go to Fritz Fest.
Now, do I even do a day two? Because day two is not as exciting as day
what
one.
What is anyone... How do you follow that up? You may have front-loaded the shit out of that, man. I mean, you just kept bringing the heat. And then you close with Super Unknown front to back. The next day, I hope, is Bad Motorfinger front to back. I mean...
Well, no, and here the second day, though, the only reason why I put that as day one is because day two's headliner, I think, would have to go above that.
Okay. All right, so give me day two.
So Local Love, band out of Chicago. If you get a chance to check them out, music's, I actually really enjoy it. I don't think a lot of others are out there, but they're a local Chicago outfit, and they do an amazing live show that I'd love to see. They're called Oucho Sparks, O-U-C-H-O Sparks. And okay. They're kind of like a indie hipster type band, real local, real small, no record contract or anything like that. But they put on this amazing live show they put up on YouTube, and I would love to see that live. I'm actually taking this next one off my list because I don't think Imogene Heap. No, don't like
what?
That.
What? How did that make your list?
I saw Imogene Heap do some live stuff, and I was actually really intrigued. Just her and a keyboard. I thought it was really chill. I thought it was really cool. Day two is more chill than day one.
It is.
So. Another band.
It has to be because people would die.
Mm-hmm.
After day one, rocking out that hard, that consistently, like out band to band to band, and then closing with Super Unknown, people are going to need like a day to sleep it off or at least a bunch of chill bands so they don't die.
So another band that I think is really cool, I think they do a good live set, and I actually quite like Cold War Kids. I actually do like the Cold War Kids.
Okay, I don't like the Cold War Kids, but that's okay.
Then
here's the thing. I'm definitely buying my one-day pass to Fritz Fest for Friday or whatever the first day is.
Well, anyway, now, okay, dig on this, though, because this set's about to get kicking, all right? I had to put them here because of the popularity, Wolf Parade.
Okay.
So now, right.
So now I'm going to day two to see Wolf Parade.
All right, Wolf Parade.
Together for this.
Taking the stage from France after Wolf Parade, Phoenix.
Oh, okay.
Then all after right. Phoenix, we're going to do some more kind of electronic sound. MGMT taking the stage, doing their own brand of, electronic stuff.
Okay.
Another band that I only got to see live once, and I would do anything to see again. And again, I'm going to lose you again on this one, Silverchair.
Listen, if they do all the hits from when we were kids, I will enjoy it. It's when they dive into the later post-2000 stuff that they lose me.
If they did a legacy set of Diorama, I would be in heaven. I love it. I love it. I love it. They never made a bad album in my eyes.
Why did I even... I think I bought that album on your recommendation. I bought that album.
Yeah, you did. And it's a good album. It's a good goddamn album.
I bought it, and Rachel's like, why'd you buy a Silverchair album? And I'm like, this guy Fritz at work, he told me it's good. I'm so dumb.
Listen, I know it's gay, and I know it's got Paul Van Dyke on it, but it's a good goddamn album.
That may be the best recommendation for an album ever. I know it's gay, and it has Paul Van Dyke on it.
Modest Mouse is the co-headliner.
All right.
And then followed by that, I just can't think of anything bigger, Radiohead.
All right. That's a pretty impressive lineup.
You said Dreeb album. This is my dream. I would love to go to both of those.
That is a dream. All right. So my list, which I kept changing so much. Okay. So I just had, because I had kind of modeled mine a little bit off of how Pitchfork does theirs.
Mm-hmm.
And I had way less bands than you had. But I had basically like a Friday set was the Don't Look Back or the Legacy stage, as you called it. So we would have Afghan Whigs do 1965. Front to back.
Are you doing a whole day of legacy sets, huh?
No. Oh, that would just be in the evening.
Okay.
Like, because it would be a Friday's thing, so people would get off of work and they would go. So in the evening, you'd have Afghan Whigs do 1965 front to back.
I like that.
And then maybe a couple other songs because everybody wants to hear Honky's Ladder. And I'm going to town. And Gentlemen, Christ, get off my back. And then Sloan would perform Between the Bridges.
Sloan was a consideration on my list.
So I would have them. They would do Between the Bridges, and then they could do a couple other songs because Sloan has so many good records. Saturday is the other thing. I didn't have them. This is my idea, and I was totally lazy. I did not do like an arrangement of like set orders.
Yeah.
But I did have the headliner for Saturday was Death from Above 1979.
Yeah, gotta be. I expected that. I thought about that as well on mine, but was like, no, Lauren's gonna do that. I'll do something.
That
else.
Is true. The Ghostface. Gotta have Ghostface.
There was an absence of rap in my set, and I don't know why.
Yeah, Lil White. I didn't notice that, but
it was White Boy Fest, I just couldn't because I want like old school Busta Rhymes, and I thought Jay-Z would be too big, you know what I mean, like for that set.
Jay-Z is headlining my Sunday.
Okay.
There you go.
I didn't mean to spoil your fest.
It's okay. But Ghostface, Primal Scream. Honestly, it was very tempting to make my entire festival nothing but legacy sets. So Primal Scream would do Exterminator front to back because have you ever heard Exterminator?
No, I haven't.
It is one of the best albums ever made. It was number 10 on my best albums of the 2000s. It is seriously incredible. It is an album built entirely around distortion and badass bass lines. And an atonal lead singer who can't sing so bad that he can sing, if that makes sense. And there's one part where he just collapses into like just screaming the F word over and over again. Like, he just keeps saying, like, shit, fuck, shit, fuck. It's such a great album. I hope I've sold you on it, listeners. Primal Scream, Exterminator, so great. I did realize when you were naming... Your list is very... thinks very much in, like, okay, you can't have this person before this person because of popularity and what have you. Yeah, because I had Death from Above headlining mine, but I did have Daft Punk playing Saturday. I don't really know how you could have Daft Punk and then Death from Above. You have... the robots in a pyramid followed by two guys with bass and drums.
Yeah, that would be a bit of a... I always picture Death from Above in the daytime and Daft Punk's going to be at night.
Yeah, my show is a bit of a mess. Cut Copy.
Okay.
Have to be there. Justice.
All right.
Because I love my dance. Mastercraft.
Oh, yeah.
Type of Sunday.
Now, how is Mastercraft and Death from Above going to coincide here?
Well, they would play... That's the thing. You would have... Death from Above Saturday, Mastercraft on Sunday.
Okay.
There you go.
It's going to be a busy day for him. Busy weekend.
Hey, you've got Josh doing double duty. He's playing drums and Eagles, and then he's lead singer, doing the lead singer action in Queens.
Heck, but he's not always the drummer.
He is the drummer. When they play live, he's the drummer.
Really? I've seen other drummers with him.
No. When they do festivals, if they did Fritz Fest, you best believe Josh would be drumming. Especially if he's going to be there with Queens.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm not going to overexhaust him. I'll throw him a couple bottles of water.
Plus, $6 a pop. Keep in mind, when Foo Fighters and Queens of Stone Age played Coachella in 2002, Dave Grohl played drums with Queens on Saturday and with Foo Fighters on Sunday.
That's hardcore.
Yes. So, it could be done. Who else did I have? On my list. I'm editing, oh no, not that guy. Why did I Why would that guy ever play Lauren Fest? really, I want Ghostface to do a set on Saturday and Sunday. No, Ghostface, here, double duty for everybody. Ghostface on Saturday, Wu-Tang on Sunday.
Ooh, but there is Wu-Tang really available for touring?
They played Pittsburgh on New Year's Eve.
Did they really?
They did.
Wow. Without the old dirty?
They've been touring without him for a while. Plus, you got to keep in mind, you know, he didn't do a whole lot.
Dirt by dirt.
I mean, here's the thing.
He fathered a lot of children, I'll tell you that much.
He did do that. Oh, no, don't get me wrong. The guy was important. He was easily the most famous person from the group. But, you know, all the hot verses on things like Method Man, and Drag Method Man, you know, Mystery Chess Boxing, Protect Your Neck, Wu-Tang Clan Ain't Nothing to Fuck With, you know. Yeah. He's a minor part of those songs.
Yeah, oh yeah. But he's just there. Anyway.
That's why. You're exactly right, though. Like, you know, I mean, I think back to, I saw a guy interview Ghostface, back in 2006. And they the guy was saying, oh, is Wu-Tang going to tour? Are you working on an album? Like, yeah, we're doing all these things. And the guy says, who's replacing ODB? And Ghostface got real sad. And he said, nobody replaces ODB. And he's right. You can't replace the guy. All they can do is carry on and keep on going on. Hey, what was the name of the second Wu-Tang album? Wu-Tang Forever.
That's right. So, what happened when a bee dies? The killer bees continue.
There you go.
Let's keep buzzing.
Couldn't said it better myself. So, really, I'm just super humbled by your list. Your list is so good. Because mine is just literally just packed with people who could I could never. Your list is sensible. Your list, I feel, is taken into consideration budgets and time. I mean, seriously, you're gonna kill everybody with your first day.
Yeah.
But still, you know, it's still thought together. Because I had Kanye on mine. You can't have Kanye and Jay-Z and Daft Punk all in the same place. That would cost $1 billion.
But this is a dream, though. This
it is
the dream.
A dream. But I feel like my dream, like I'm gonna wake up because my rational self will say this is impossible. You got to get up.
Your dream's costing you money. You got to spend $5
exactly.
an hour for the dream.
Exactly. Right now, my dream's like, you can't do that. You got to get up. You're probably late for work, which you're going to need to go to if you're going to pay for this. Yeah. So I did have The Dream. Speaking of dreams, I did have The Dream because I love The Dream, and I've never seen him live. Although I did see video of him literally just lip syncing to his own songs at a record release party, and it was awesome. So if that's how good he is just lip-syncing to his own songs at a record release party, imagine what an actual live show could be like. Although dude can't dance, which is really interesting. Like, most of the time with any sort of like R&B sort of hip-hop singer type of guys, they can dance. I've seen enough videos of The Dream to know that he cannot actually dance. He can sway, but he can't really dance.
I can sway.
Well, you got – dude, I've seen you on stage, man. You bring the heat.
I do.
All those other guys, you make the rest of your band look a little lazy. Not
I'm
gonna
retired,
lie.
Though. Retired, though. I'm retired, man.
You're retired now? I can't believe you hung it up.
No.
I can't believe you've hung it up forever.
Yep. No more stage work for Fritz, man. You, if you missed out, you're done. It's Corduroy Bastards from here on out, so.
Well, there we go. Anyway, so that's mine. My totally changed at the last minute, half-ass dream. That
I didn't mean to upstage you here. I thought mine was
yours, and I'm like, you know what, we should cancel mine and just put all the extra funds into yours because yours is too awesome. So I would swap out Cold War Kids for Death from Above, and you got me. You're
all
in
right.
There you go.
All right, so I think that's gonna do it for another Lauren and Fritz podcast.
Yes. Thanks
and,
for everybody.
If you guys could think of your own festival, some things you want to put on there, email us. You got laurinandfritz@gmail.com.
Yeah, that's laurinfritz@gmail.com.
All right, and this was number 40.
Number 40. We're getting old.
For your homies.
Yes. All right, I'm Lauren.
I'm Fritz.
Later.
I've been waiting. I've been waiting for this moment.